Today, I want to talk about a story, and it's interesting the songs you picked, Loida, and Ryan talked about the boat, and because my story is about running from God, but it's a story of Jonah. I want to really look at it, and I want to exegete it today, so we actually look at the verses and see what it was saying. And there's one verse, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Loida actually said the second verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my second favorite verse. But Romans 8, 28, if there's one verse you need to write down and you need to keep and memorize, keep it somewhere. This is the Amplified version, which I love. It says, and we know, say no. So, and we know with great confidence. When you see the parentheses in the Amplified, it's actually going into the original language and emphasizing what it's saying. So the word know here is not just to know about, it's to know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things, say all things, to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Romans 8, 28, that is really, in a nutshell, our life. If we live with this testimony, then things, when they are going bad in our life, I still have hope because I know he is still working things out. I may not understand it. I'm not through the reflective part, but I know that he is in control and working things out in my life. Now, when it comes to the story, I have a question for you. Have you ever had a season where God tells you to do something and you just don't do it? Or am I the only one who's unholy here? I mean, God has told me to do some things and sometimes I'm like, no, I don't think so. Or sometimes he tells me to do things and I'm thinking, I will do it later when I'm ready and that person is nicer to me. So, think about Jonah. Now, Jonah gets a bad rap a lot for this. And I don't really see this as a missions story when you look at it. It really is a story about God and running from God. But we know the story about of Jonah, but do you know the story about the tortoise and the rabbit? Yeah, you do. Okay, so it's a really cool story. It was my favorite story growing up. I had two favorite, Clifford the Big Red Dog. I'm dating myself probably, right? I loved Clifford and I loved Curious George. They were like my favorite books. But this is my favorite story that my mom used to read to me all the time, The Tortoise and the Hare, and how the tortoise was slow, but the rabbit was quick. And that rabbit just was like, bang, I'm off. I'm going to win this race. Baby, I'm just going to relax and take a nap. And the tortoise was slow and methodical because I'm a rabbit, honestly, in life. So, hey, I'm going to do this, get it done. I can do this, no problem. Boom. And here comes the tortoise, step by step. And every time you hear the story, you might laugh. You say, oh, I know that story. Now, the story of Jonah is very interesting because it's a hard story to swallow. I had to do that. I'll go over here. It's a hard story to swallow, right? But really, it wasn't a hard story to swallow. If you understand, it's about understanding God. Because we can believe that God created the earth in one word, but why can't we believe that he can get a big fish to swallow Jonah? I mean, you know, I can believe that he can raise people from the dead, but he can't do this. So I don't know if you heard my message several months ago about nature and the whales. We heard the whale sounds, and they were actually praising God. It was a pretty amazing service when you put that with the music. So I think he's very much in control of the animals. Think about Balaam and the donkey. I mean, that donkey, we don't question that. The donkey spoke to Balaam. So I think God just said, I'm going to need you to be in position over here, Mr. Whale. When this happens, he's like, yes, God, I'm ready. So that's the story of Jonah. It's interesting. And then I want to talk about somebody really quick. His name is Robert Ingersoll. Now, he was an atheist, very big-time atheist. He was a professor at a college. And he was in Chicago. And there was a young girl in her 20s who was having a little Bible study in a park in Chicago. And here he comes with his academic friends through the park, and he sees her. And his thought is, I am going to go over and taunt her and just blow her out of the water with my knowledge and her lack of knowledge and stupidity of believing in Jesus. She heard what he was talking. She was talking about. So she's talking, and he says, "Excuse me, ma'am, but I hear that you're a Christian." She goes, "Yes, I am." He says, "So do you believe the Bible is real?" "Yes, I do. I believe it's real. From cover to cover." "Yes, from cover to cover, I believe that it's real." "So you believe all the stories in the Bible are real?" "I do. I believe all the stories are real." "You even believe the story about Jonah and the whale?" She goes, "Well, it's in the Bible, and maybe I don't understand it completely. Well, yeah, I believe it's real." "So I have a question for you," he says. "What did Jonah eat for 3 days while he was in the belly of the whale?" She goes, "Well, the Bible doesn't say, but I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him." "Well, what if Jonah doesn't make it to heaven?" he says. She says, "Well, then you ask him." So Jonah is going to be there. I'm going to be there. And that's going to be, I might ask that question. I hope that he made it as well. But so make sure, like I said, that we don't tell the story too soon. Otherwise, we see only the pain and not the purpose. It's a process, right? We've been on the process part a lot. It's a process, and there's a purpose behind a lot of things God is doing in our life. And he is not so concerned about our comfort, believe it or not. He loves us, but comfort causes complacency. I'm going to say that again. That's good. Comfort causes complacency. When I get comfortable, I tend to relax and not really do a lot of things or am not challenged. Being challenged is a good thing. I was speaking to someone this week as I was counseling them, and we were talking on the phone, and this person is struggling with their faith, and they're ashamed to even talk about it. She's like, "I'm kind of ashamed to talk about this." I said, "Why?" Nobody's here to judge. We all struggle with our faith at times because I'm human. And you're human, and we live in a world that is human. And when things happen that we don't quite understand, it should challenge our faith. But somehow, some way, we have to work through that process and get to the other side. And he is there step by step, as Ryan said, calling us out of that water to walk on that water. That's where the faith comes in. Now, Jonah was a prophet. And as Sophia Petrillo says, picture it. So I want to give you some background about what was taking place in this book. Jonah was well known and respected prophet in Israel in the 8th century BC. Very patriotic. That's a key. He was extremely patriotic to the country of Israel. His father was very much into the kings and into the royalty and was part of the lineage. So he was very much an Israel through and through. Kind of like you Georgia fans, right? But he was very much patriotic with Israel, which is a key when you understand why he responded the way he did. It wasn't because he wanted to just run from God. So Jonah had prophesied in 1 Kings 14:25 that God would expand the borders of Israel, and it happened. So at this time when Jonah was on the scene, Israel was booming. Their economy was like really up, and they had the jobs were really good, and they were like the biggest thing around as far as prosperity. So that's what's taking place at the time this happens with Jonah. Now, the only rival in the whole world against Israel was this country called Assyria. And you know what their capital was? Nineveh. So their biggest rival was Nineveh. And Nineveh was an enemy of Israel. And the Ninevites, the Assyrians, were not nice people. As a matter of fact, they would be kind of known as terrorists today, if you think about it. They would, if they captured you, they would cut off your ear, pluck out an eye. They were not nice captors. So this is who God is telling him to go to preach to. Do you understand now why he's saying, "I don't think I can do this"? One, they are against my people. Hello? I'm going to say that again. You see where I'm going? They're against my people, maybe my LGBTQXYZ people. Maybe they're against us, but God is telling us to go to them. Now, this week, there is something that's taking place among the church community, religious community in Atlanta. It's called One Police. It's a group that are getting together now of pastors and law enforcement. And I went to the last meeting a few months ago, and they had another luncheon this past Wednesday I went. It was started by somebody that wants to see the clergy and the police help to change what's taking place. Because the police are not in good eyes right now in a lot of people's eyes. So they're wanting to, and it was great, the guy that was speaking, because he said there are bad cops, and we understand that. But we need your help as well, because there's good cops. And I said, we're not against cops. I just want justice, right? So dialogue is good. Even if you have opposing view, dialogues can be good. But here's the thing I'm getting to. Last time I went, of course, I sat by a table by myself because I looked out and I saw all the ones that I didn't want to sit with, right? Hello. I mean, I'm not like, one of these things is not like the rest. So, and I'm scouting and saying, don't know anybody, I don't. So I'm like, great. And who comes to sit by me but four Baptist ministers, white Baptist, Southern Baptist ministers, all around me. I'm like, great, God. Really? You know, and so, what church are you from? Gathering Place Atlanta. Oh, you have a wife? Married? I'm like, no, I have a husband. Silence. Like, yeah, this is working out really, really well. So this past meeting, though, I'm like, God, can you please give me a little bit of buffer? Because I really kind of want to enjoy it, because that was uncomfortable. And this time I was with Presbyterians, and they were fine. So I'm like, okay, this is all right. The Presbyterians were there, like, oh, that's great. How long have your partner been together? He is in Decatur. He's a pastor. So I'm like, oh, great. And then one up in Dunwoody. So, but I could really take them as the enemy, is what I'm saying. Because they hurt me. When I look at my life, had I written this narrative of what I'm doing now when I was an Assemblies of God minister and my credentials were taken from me and I was kicked out after I went through 4 years of Bible college and 3 years of seminary of my life, and they said, you are no longer qualified to preach, you can't do this. Had I written this narrative then it would be completely different than now. Because now I use all of those experiences in my life, and I can minister through those experiences to people who have been rejected or have been kicked out of church or have gone through hard times. Because I understand what it's like for the religious people to come up and kick you out. So that narrative is different when I reflect on it. But it wasn't like that when I was going through it. As a matter of fact, I kind of ran from God after it happened because I was angry. I don't know if everybody else has been there or it's just me, but I was pretty upset because they're like, God, I did this my whole life. I've been working for this my whole life. You called me at the age 14 and I did all of these things and now it's gone. So for 3 years, I didn't do anything. I didn't go to church. I didn't do anything. But he was doing something. I just didn't know what he was doing. So this is what's taking place with Jonah. So we're going to go through the scriptures. So Jonah 1:1-2, it says, one day long ago, God's word came to Jonah. This is from the Message Bible as well. If it sounds unreligious, it's really cool. So one day long ago, God's word came to Jonah, up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way and I can't ignore it any longer. Okay, so here it is. Go to the people who hate you. Those who, if they see you, might pluck your eye out. See, it's not just about them hating them. They were enemies of Israel. He might have gotten hurt. This is why it's such a big thing with Jonah. Now, have you heard this part of it? See, this is the second part of the story. So then it says, but instead, Jonah got up and went the other direction to Tarshish, running away from God. Okay, God, no, I'm not doing it. Now, he could have been justifying it, saying, no, they're going to, you know, God, you can't be telling me this. They're going to be doing, you know, things to me. I'm going. They're going to hate me. So he got up and he went the other way. And we're all running from something in our lives. So he went down, say down, to the port of Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. Anytime you're not doing what God's telling you, you're going down. When you're not following his will, you're going down. You only go up when you're doing what he's telling you to do. And then it says he paid the fare and went on board. When you're not following God, you're going to pay something. It's going to cost you. In the long run, it's kind of like when you're going through the children of the wilderness, it took them 40 years. You know, it's going to cost you. So he paid the fare, went on board, joining those going to Tarshish, as far away from God as he could get. that's Jonah. That's me. I so understood what he's saying. Here's a map. Now you see, if you can't see it really well, you see where it says Joppa? Right there? Israel is right there. He was right above Joppa. Nineveh is over on the right-hand side where those rivers are at. And Tarshish is way on the other side by Spain. I mean, you talk about as far away from where God said to go, one end of the world of that time, he went to the opposite end of the world. That's all that the world was known at that time because they hit the Atlantic Ocean. They had not crossed it yet. So, sure, God, you tell me to go here. I'm going all the way on the other side. Now, how many of us do that? So it was only 500 miles from Israel to Nineveh, but 2,500 miles to Tarshish. And it says, sometimes we work harder at disobeying God than just doing what he told us to do in the first place. You know, disobedience takes a lot of work. It really does. I mean, sometimes I can wear myself out by not doing what he's telling me to do. Sometimes I can wear myself out by holding on to a grudge instead of just letting it go. Because I work over and over again. And I think about it all the time until finally, if you just let it go, it's gone. Can be easier just to forgive than hold on a grudge. Now, Jonah, chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. But God sent a huge storm at sea, the waves towering. Now, surely God didn't do this. Those of us who come from a charismatic Pentecostal background, it was the devil. Now, the one difference is I think those who are not even Christians have an advantage in some ways because they don't have a devil to blame. We have a devil to blame. Instead of blaming ourselves for some of our past failures and mistakes, we blame the devil. We have to really look at our lives and say, I failed in this area of my life. Yeah, I made some bad decisions. And sometimes it costs me payment that I have to pay for those things. But it wasn't the devil that made me do it. It was me. Am I speaking to anybody? You know, we always want to blame the storms on the devil, but it's not. One advantage is that Christians have that they can't blame everything on the devil. All right, so this is the next verse. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. So he's on a boat with a bunch of non-Jews. They have pagan gods or have all these gods that they're praying for. There's a storm coming. They're heading to Tarshish, and all of a sudden, God sends this big storm. And so the boat's going up and down and beginning to break apart. So they say, and then they threw their cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. So then let's get rid of stuff because maybe that's why it'll help save the ship. There's so many things on here. The ship was about to break into pieces. The sailors were terrified. They called out in desperation to all of their gods. They threw everything that they were carrying overboard to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship to take a nap. Doesn't it sound like some Christians? The whole world is going to hell and I'm going to go take a nap. It's all about me. I'm tired. I'm running from God. I'm going to the bottom of the ship. It's about me. Forget about them. I need my rest. So that's where he's at. So here's Jonah taking a nap, and it says, meanwhile, Jonah had gone down the ship in the hold of the ship to take a nap. He was sound asleep. The captain came to him and said, what's this, sleeping? Get up. Pray to your God. Maybe your God will see we're in trouble and rescue us. But Jonah didn't want to pray to his God. Do we know why? Because God already told him to do something. He knew he was in disobedience. That's hard. When you are in disobedience, to go to God and start praying, because you know what he's going to do. He's going to say, you know what I've been telling you to do. So Jonah kind of knows what's going on at this point. Then the sailors said to one another, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's draw straws to identify the culprit on the ship who's responsible for this disaster. Now, that was something that did a lot. In the Old Testament, they drew straws. Even in the New Testament, they drew straws to find different things. So, and actually, God spoke through this. So they drew straws, and Jonah got the short straw. Of course. Jonah's the culprit. Then they grilled him. Confess. Why this disaster? What is your work? Where do you come from? What country? What family? He told them, I am a Hebrew. I worship God. The God of heaven who made the sea and the land. He knows what's going on. Jonah actually, at this point, knows. At that, the men were frightened, really frightened, and said, what on earth have you done? As Jonah talked, the sailors realized that he was running away from God. They said to him, what are we going to do with you to get rid of the storm? By this time, the sea was wild, totally out of control. Jonah said, throw me overboard into the sea. Then the storm will stop. It's all my fault. I'm the cause of the storm. Get rid of me and you'll get rid of the storm. So this is what's really happening with Jonah. He's saying, you're right. I know what I'm doing. I'm causing the problems to get rid of. Now, I will say one thing. Sometimes in your life, the storms are coming because of things you are doing. But sometimes in your life, the storms are coming because of who you have in your boat. I'll say that again. Sometimes the storms and the drama are coming in your life because of who you have in your boat. And sometimes you have to throw them off the boat. Sometimes there's people who are just going to be drama, and you are so connected to that drama that you have to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't have you in my boat right now because there's things that God wants me to do in my life, and I need to go forward with God, and that's okay. Throw them off the boat.
I am.
Okay. As long as you're saved. I'm just joking. Okay. But it's true. I mean, some of us get into relationships that we don't have any business getting into. I'm going to say that over here. I'm not looking away. Some of us get into relationships, not this church, of course, never here, but other churches. Sometimes people there are getting to relationships that they have no business getting into. And they wonder, why is all of these things happening in my life, God? Because you have someone in your boat that's not supposed to be in your boat.
Jesus.
That'll preach. Woo. Okay. So let's go on. Moving on. Go ahead. But no, the men tried throwing back to the shore. So they're saying, no, we're not going to do this to you. They made no headway. The storm only got worse and worse, wild and raging. So they're saying, no, we can't do this to him. But finally they're saying, okay, I guess we have to, or we're all going to die. Then they prayed to God. Oh, God. Now, these are the men who don't believe in God, remember? These are all the ones who come from everywhere else. They're now praying to Jonah's God. He talked about God, and now they're praying to his God. Hello? In that whole situation, there is evangelism taking place because there's a stressful problem taking place in their life, and Jonah told them about God right then, and they understood. So they're saying, God, don't let this down. Don't let us down because of this man's life, and don't blame us for his death. You are God. Do what you think is best. What a great prayer for new believers. You're God. I'm going to trust you to do what is best in this situation. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. Immediately, say immediately. Immediately, the sea was quieted down. Now, can you imagine? The storm raging. Ooh, there goes Jonah. Glass. You're like, whoa. And it says, the sailors were impressed. Were so impressed, they no longer terrified by the sea, but in awe of God. I love that. They worshiped God, offered a sacrifice, and made vows to God. I'm getting chills thinking about this. All of that happened because of the storm that Jonah had caused. God still showed up in that storm, and the other people saw God's power. This is the part of Jonah you don't see when you read it, right? Unless you start looking verse by verse and you start seeing other things about Jonah. It wasn't just he was bad, got swallowed by the whale, got spit up. That's what I've always heard, right? There's a lot going on here which I can identify with. I mean, he probably justified a lot of things he was doing because they were going to hurt him. I mean, it's not easy to go somewhere where you're not loved and if you think they're going to hurt you. But if God's telling you to do it, we have to trust God, right? Now, the Lord provided a huge, say provided. So let's get this. The Lord provided a storm. The Lord provided. Ooh, Lord, you're going to provide for my needs. Oh. A storm, a big fish. And the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, what kind of fish was it? I don't know. It doesn't say a whale. We just kind of think it might have been a whale, but it might have been this fish that God just created for this. Who knows? Might have been a submarine. Who knows what it was? God did that. A submarine fish. I'm saying is we are limited by our knowledge and our mind. God is not limited. So here it is. Jonah's out there and God provides a fish. Now, God, it could have been a boat. I mean, really? You know, I mean, it could have been they threw him off and right away this boat was right there to save him. But no, God put him in a dark place and a scary place for 3 days. Then Jonah prayed to God from the belly of the fish, in trouble, deep trouble. Oh, deep trouble. I prayed to God from the belly of the grave. I cried, help! You threw me into the ocean's depths, into the watery grave, with ocean's waves, ocean's breakers crashing over me. I said, I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. He's being a little dramatic, right? I mean, he's the one that caused this. I'll never again lay eyes on your holy temple. The ocean gripped me by the throat. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held me tight. My head was all tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was as far down as a body can go, and the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Oh, Jonah, keep going, man. It's bad. I mean, you know, we might have some problems, but we like to embellish our problems a little bit, dramatize things a little bit sometimes. But then, all of a sudden, God came back to his mind. The verse before, he's talking about himself. But then he remembers, oh, but you. But you, Lord, you brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. He's got a vision of God at this point, and then he gets the next one. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, I'm worshiping you, God. Calling out in thanksgiving and praise, and I'll do what I promised I'll do. And I will praise and declare that salvation comes from the Lord. You see, he's worked through some of these things. There's a process. When he was upset, he was running, God came on the scene. He's now in the belly of the whale, and all of a sudden, he's, God, what have you done? But then he gets a glimpse, oh yeah, it's kind of like the prodigal son. You know, in that story, when the prodigal son had gone away, spent all of his money, and he was actually eating the pig slop. He's a Jew. I mean, they weren't even supposed to be around pigs. And here he is tending pigs and eating the pig slop, and he's eating that, and it says, all of a sudden, he remembered. And if you go into the Hebrew and the Greek, if you go into the original language, that it gives a picture of smelling salts. It's like you're dead and all of a sudden, wait a minute, I have a father who loves me. I have someone who cares. I have something else, and that's what's happening here. But wait a minute, God, I still have you. Then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah on the seashore. Now, probably not the way he wanted to end. After 3 days, to just be vomited on the seashore. It made a good story, though, right? I mean, you know, if you're going to write this, that's something you can remember for years and years and years. But he was rescued at that point. And he went on to Nineveh at that point. And guess what? They heard him, and they repented and turned to God. So God really knew what he was doing, after all. Imagine that. Always does. Imagine that. I mean, sometimes God's even got more ideas and smarter than me. Right? I mean, really? I mean, sometimes when I think of the things he's doing, like, God, I don't think you want to do it this way. If you do it this way, this is not going to work. Because people don't like this stuff. You ever heard of, what do they call it, seeker-friendly churches? Have you heard that term? So this is not a secret friendly church. But if a secret friendly church is going to try to do things to get people to come to make them feel really good, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to tell them the truth. I don't want to be a secret friendly church because God's not called me to be one. And if he does, that's fine if he does, but he hasn't. Now, I will tell you the truth in love, because the truth is basically that God loves you like you are. That he has a plan for your life to give you a future and a hope, and that he's called you to him, and that he has something for you to do. So can you imagine in heaven that Jonah is in heaven talking to Jesus? Jesus, let me tell you what happened to me. You know what your dad did to me? So first, I got swallowed. No, first I had to go to these people that were enemies of mine. I had to leave my home, because his dad was an aristocrat, his dad was a king. I had to leave my home and go to this place where people didn't love me. Jesus says, I kind of understand that. See, I left my home in glory with my father to go to people who hated me. As a matter of fact, they killed me. Justin, Well, let me go to the next part. So for the next 3 days, I was in the belly of a whale. The next 3 days, I was in the belly of a whale, dark. And Jesus says, For 3 days, I was in a dark tomb. And Jonah's saying, Well, on the third day, when I really praised God, I was let out of the belly of the whale. And Jesus says, let me tell you what happened to me on the third day. On the third day, the stone was rolled away and I was no longer in the grave. On the third day, I went to the bowels of hell and took the keys of the kingdom and went up to heaven. On the third day, I conquered death. That is what happened to me on the third day. See the picture of Jesus with Jonah? 3 days in the tomb, and it was done. I don't know where you're at in your life. If you're at a place at the beginning where you're running from God to Tarsus, maybe God's telling you to do something, and you're saying, I can't do that. It's going to be too hard, or I'm too scared, or I'm not qualified, or I just can't do that. And you might want to say, I'm going to pull away, or I'm going to do something else. But if God is telling you to do it, he will make the way to do it. Don't get ahead of him. You have to be careful with that. We all do. Don't get ahead. Go step by step. Because when you look back, you need to grab this. You know this. I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you. When you look back, you're not out of the story yet. But when you look back and reflect on where he has taken you from and held you from and taken you step by step by step, then it's going to make a lot more sense. It's looking back. So you may be in that beginning of that. You may be in the middle of that point. Or you may be looking back and saying, oh, God, now I understand what you did in my life. So Jonah went on to do God's will after that. He wrote this book about his life. Do you know it's only 4 chapters? So the next part, there's a part 2 probably to this. After that took place, great story, right? Nineveh repented. They understood God was real. Jonah gets mad because they start to prosper. He gets upset. God, they're prospering now. And he folds his arms underneath a tree. Not really a tree. He sat in the middle of the sun by a rock. God then provided a tree to cover him. So Jonah, yes, this is how I work. People you don't like may be blessed. They may have wealth. You brought that, and you may have been the catalyst to help bring that. God, I don't like it. These are my enemies. I don't like it. And all of a sudden, the tree grows over them and shades his head. And Jonah is sitting there, angry, with his arms folded. So God provides the whale. He provides a storm. He provides a tree to cover him. And the very end of the chapter, you remember the ending? He provides a worm. And it actually, the word provision in Hebrew is called manna. So it said God mannaed the storm. God mannaed the whale. He mannaed the bush. And he mannaed the worm. You remember what manna is? Manna was that substance that came down from heaven every morning that the Israelites would go out and eat. It was provision from God. And if they kept it, it rotted. So they had to trust God every morning. That's the word used, which I find very interesting because I would not think of provision as a storm, provision as a whale, provision as a bush, and then a worm. It says the worm came and ate the tree in the bush, and he had no more cover. You see, God, through the whole process, took him to the next level. Another thing he had to face. But God is always concerned about the process. We're looking at the end result. He's saying, oh, yeah, you followed me there, and you got through the fish, and you prayed for them, but then you kind of got mad again. So let's take you now to another place. So God is still working in our lives. I don't know where you're at in this story, but God does. Would you stand with me for a second? God, you are the God of provision. When Jonah began to see you and began to praise, things began to change in his life. Would you lift your hearts and your hands with me right now? Father, we praise you in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our questions. When it feels like you may be having us in the middle of a storm and we might have been disobedience, maybe it's somebody in our boat with us, I don't know, but we know you are there. So I pray right now for clarity. I pray for peace. I pray for you to speak deeply to our hearts right now. You alone, God, is where our hearts need to be. The rest is peripheral. You alone, God. So we say, God, move in our life. Give us a provision, whatever that means, of you, from your hand. And we're going to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, we'll have prayer right now. We'll go into a little worship. But if you're in that place, we can pray with you. And let's see what God's going to do.